Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gora Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaturanga Nitya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All glories to the symbol of the Lord, all glories to Sri Sri Guru.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parivrajakacharya, Astotara Shatashri, Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandavega on the City of Puranjana, Text 22. Mai Samrabhya Vipula Mada Chapam Sudur Saham Hatum arhasi naikatra madhyachna vimukho mune mai samrabhya vipula madachapam sudusaham sthatum arhasi naikatra madhyachna vimukho mune mai samrabhya vipula madachapam sudusaham shatum sthatum arhasi naikatra madhyachna vimukho mune. Mai samrabhya vipula Ladies, please. Mai unto me, samrabhya, having become angry, vipula, unlimited, madat, out of illusion, shapam, curse, sudusaham, unbearable, sthatum arhasi, you may remain. Na, never, ekatra, in one place, mat, my, yachna, request, vimukha, having refused, mune, O great sage. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Narada continued, when I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. So this is Narada Muni speaking. Yesterday he told us, when I once came to this earth from Brahmaloka, the highest planetary system, the daughter of time, wandering over the universe, met me. Knowing me to be an avowed brahmachari, she became lusty and proposed that I accept her. When I refused to accept her request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Purport. The great sage Narada Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narada is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place for more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his own free will he is already traveling all over the universe, the curse of Kalakanyaka is described as fortunate. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The last line of the purport says, such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. Every living entity, by nature, is subject to higher authority or higher order. There is nobody, except the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is nobody who does not have to follow higher authority. Following higher authority means following a higher order, a higher set of laws. Because all the laws are made by Krishna. Now there are two categories of laws called spiritual laws and material laws. And the spiritual law, we are accustomed to thinking of it in terms of cause and effect. If, then. If someone follows this law, then. If someone does not do, then. But spiritual laws don't operate like that. There's not an if and then relationship necessarily. The only quote-unquote law that exists in the spiritual world is that everyone is aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone lovingly, willingly serves. In fact, everyone wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that sense, there are no laws. However, one is directed by the internal potency of Krishna to conduct every such activity. So such personalities have unlimited freedom. Example here is Narada Muni. He has unlimited freedom. He can traverse any universe, any part of the universe, spiritual world, at his own will. He can do whatever he likes. He is as liberated as anyone else. Or in fact, He enjoys the same kind of freedom that the Supreme Personality does. He can at will enter the spiritual world, at will enter Brahmaloka, at will go here, go there. No one can stop him. For those, there are the other set of laws called the material laws. Material laws govern the living entities within the material world. Primarily, those laws manifest within the Vedas. The Vedas describe such and such activities should be performed, and such activities should be avoided. They call yama or niyama, or pravritti or nivritti. Or we say rules and regulations. There are rules and regulations provided, or there are laws for peace, for orderliness, for progressive behavior. Because if there are no laws, there is no progression. Without law, there cannot be progression. Even in ordinary things, such as, let's say, a baseball game or soccer or chess or whatever the game might be, if there were no rules for the game, it doesn't matter if your pawn moves 8 steps or 6 steps forward or crisscross. It doesn't matter. You can move any person or any of these on the chessboard at your will. You can do whatever you like. The game has no fun. Any game has fun because there are rules. There are laws. You can do something and you cannot do something. If a game of soccer had no rules, what's the fun in kicking a ball? If a game of baseball had no rules, if some other game had no rules, if traffic, there were no traffic rules, no traffic laws, no fun. I mean, one would be, one of the outcomes of no rules, especially in the organization of a society, is that when there are no rules, there is always fear and anxiety and worry. If everyone can drive any way they like without any rules, very difficult to get into a car, because you never know who's going to hit whom. And even if someone hits someone, all they can say is, sorry, and move on. That's not enough, yeah? Sorry. Severe whiplash. But so there are laws. The laws are meant for progressive behavior or for progression of all the living entities. However, there are laws that elevate and laws that restrict. And the laws that govern the material universe are those that restrict and elevate at the same time. So there is a karmic phenomena. You do certain actions and there are certain reactions. And these reactions are meant to help a person at least come to their senses or fulfill their desires. So if I have a desire of flying all the time, I think of flying, then the karmic arrangement might allow me that opportunity. It might give me the body of a bird or a fly or something that allows me to fly. But along with that body comes a set of rules, a set of laws. A fly can fly but cannot speak, or can only buzz, or something, a whole set of laws that come along with it. The human body can do something, cannot do something, etc. So these material laws, they govern in such a way that the soul is put into temporary situations because the desires are such. And even in those temporary situations, there are some elements of freedom and elements of restriction. So the elements of restriction that we've been discussing is old age. It's a restriction. Birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the four laws that govern the material body. Then there is misery due to one's own body and mind. They also operate under certain laws. What is the kind of misery that one may suffer due to one's own body? Depends on one's desires and behaviors. And those desires and behaviors are governed by certain laws of karma. Desire or suffering or misery due to someone else's body and mind. Misery is due to higher order adjustments. Adhyatmika, Adidaivika, Adibhautika, and Adidaivika kleshas. So there are all these laws governing us. Plus the material energy itself follows certain laws. That's why there is this whole set of fields of study: physics, chemistry, biology, geometry, because there are certain laws. So the whole material setup is full of certain laws and rules and regulations. A progressive human being is one who knows how to operate within these laws. However, personalities such as Narada Muni are beyond the jurisdiction of such material laws. That means that they do not have a material body. They are not governed by the material energy. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashritah. Because they have taken shelter of a completely different set of laws. They've taken shelter of the internal potency. So these material laws do not operate. Standard example that we've heard. There is the Indian consulate in the city of Chicago. So the city of Chicago is governed by the laws of the United States government. While the Indian consulate is within the city of Chicago, once you're inside that consulate, you're governed by the laws of the Republic of India. Similarly, pure devotees of the Lord, although they are within the material world, they are not governed by the laws of the material world. They don't have a material body, so there is nothing called old age. There is nothing called death. There is nothing called fear. There is nothing called danger for them. On the other hand, those who have a material body are always in danger. First of one biggest danger is that this body is deteriorating, or that this body will go away. One's sense of time is limited. So they're always in a rush. They're in a rush to maximize the sense gratification opportunities. They're governed by greed and avarice and envy and all of this. So Narada Muni is saying that he had a blessing in disguise. That Jara, old age, or Kala Karnika, the daughter of time, cursed him for rejecting her proposal. She saw this wonderful brahmachari and she wanted to court him. And he said, no, thank you. And she got upset. She cursed him. May you never stay in any place for in a long time. And he was very happy. He said, that's a great blessing. Because he has unlimited freedom, he can move around. One of the things that old age does is that it restricts a person to a place. Generally, people who are elderly cannot travel freely. Because one who marries Jara, or one who is associating with Jara, one who becomes old, cannot move about, has to stay. But the pure devotees, because they're not affected by such, they move about freely. Well, Srila Prabhupada, for example. Similar to this, because he's a pure devotee, and his whole mission was, here Prabhupada says, since by his own free will he's already traveling all over the universe. Like Narada Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in the different places and in different universes. Because that is the mission of their lives, is to assist others in awakening to the truth or reality that there is something beyond their daily rut. But there is an alternative, there's a spiritual alternative, a relationship with Krishna. And their anxiety is that everyone should know about it. So they travel here and there, regardless of their age and regardless of their, let's say, difficulties. So Srila Prabhupada traveled all the way from Vrindavan to Boston Harbor on a cargo ship at the ripe age of 70. Two heart attacks. Nothing that we would call along with him as a material asset. A trunk of books, a pair of clothes on his back, some cereal and few rupees along with him, 40 rupees, which have no value in the US. No address, no place to stay, nothing. And despite all of this, one of the biggest impediments was his old age. But that was not an impediment for Prabhupada. And not only did he make it to Boston Harbor and somehow he made it to America, yeah, that's not it. From then on began the serious work that he embarked on. Yes, just as a sidebar to add to this. Since the time we've been talking about old age, elderly people, so many of them have been coming into the temple. I don't know if you've noticed. So many. Yesterday there's one elderly gentleman who came. He sat for some time with the Prabhus here while they were discussing Ishopanishad. And then he came to speak with me. He's visiting from India and he's here because his daughter-in-law, his son has had a new baby, and so they've come to see him. And he's been associated with the devotees in India for many years. A very sympathetic supporter of the work that ISKCON does. And in so many years of experience, and I was telling him, we've been discussing what it means to grow old. We've been discussing what it means, how difficult old age can be. And we've been discussing how to not wait until that time. So in sixth canto, in this chapter number 3, Yamaraj is instructing his followers. The scene is that the Yamadutas who had come to take Ajamila have been defeated by the Vishnudutas. That the Yamadutas appear because they're following these material laws. The law says such and such person has behaved sinfully, has violated the laws of human conduct, and so their destination is to go to Yamaraj. So Vishnu Dutas appear. But our hero, Ajamila, at the ripe age of 88, calls out his son, Narayana. And so 4 Vishnu Dutas also appear and say, Haribo, this man is ours, you cannot take him. So there is this whole debate. Why? the debate about who Ajamila belongs to. But the Vishnu Dutas check the Yama Dutas and send them away. So they come back to Yamaraj and they're a little upset. And they say, we thought you're the controller of all the living entities in this world, in this universe. Is there another master greater than you? It seems like, because those four persons, they didn't think of you like that. So who is such a controller? And Yamaraj is explaining, oh, by the way, those who chant the name of Krishna, they are not under my jurisdiction. In fact, they're not under the jurisdiction of anyone. They're free. And so this verse from chapter 3, text number 18. Bhutani Vishnu Surapujitani Durdarshalingani Mahadbhutani Rakshanti Tad Bhakti Mataparebhyo Mattascha Martyanatas Sarvatascha. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu, who are worshipped even by the demigods, possess wonderful bodily features exactly like those of Vishnu and are very rarely seen. The Vishnu Dutas protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. So one of the natural disturbances is old age. But a devotee of Vishnu is protected by all of that. Purport. Yamaraj has specifically described the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas to convince his own servants not to be envious of them. Yamaraj warned the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are worshipped with respectful obeisances by the demigods and are always very alert to protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from natural disturbances, and from all dangerous conditions in this material world. Sometimes the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are afraid of the impending danger of world war and ask what would happen to them if a war should occur. In all kinds of danger, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Prati Janihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Material danger is not meant for devotees. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Padam Padam Yat Vipadam Natesham. In this material world, there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees of Lord Vishnu may rest assured of the Lord's protection, and as long as they are in this material world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. So the Prabhupada and Narada Muni are giving us the method or the purpose that can protect us from the dangers of old age. Next verse or next set of verses is the reason why people don't like old age. Because Kale Kanaka, this daughter of time, or Jara, old age, she finds a suitable husband. And he's the king of untouchables. His name is Bhaya, or fear. Because nobody wants to touch fear. They want to remain far from fear. And she marries Bhaya. So for a devotee of Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna, one who's here specifically saying, one who's preaching the message of Krishna consciousness, that is the way to be free of old age and fear. Now it doesn't mean that the body will not get old, but the miseries of old age will not bother the devotee. Although for most persons, in fact for all persons, old age in this life also means old age in the next life, and the old age in the next life after, and the life after. The temporarily they might get a renewed new body, in a different form. An old man can die and become a young tiger. A youthful body can roar loudly and run at, you know, high speeds. But we'll also become old again. We'll die again. We'll be born again. We'll die again. Born again, die again. But for a devotee who does not limit himself or herself in the extension, in the preaching of Krishna consciousness, however way, whichever way possible, whatever capacity Krishna has given, use it for helping others. Even if it means to remind someone, to make them chant the name of Krishna even once, whatever is our capacity Krishna has given, utilize it for bringing to others the opportunity of Krishna consciousness. Such persons have only one old age to face, and that's about it. Then there is the reward of a spiritual body. And even in that old age, the misery of old age does not exist, or should not exist. That means Krishna will make all sorts of arrangements for such persons to be able to continue the service of preaching without restrictions. So, any comments, questions? Imagine.
I'm thinking about that pastime when I think Shyamasundar Prabhu was carving Subhadra Maharani, and he was smoking a cigarette or something, and Prabhupada came in. And so in general we see that Srila Prabhupada's disciples did some really amazing things, but by the standard of Vedic rules and regulations, they may not have been following all the rules and regulations so perfectly. Because they had full faith in Prabhupada, they were able to do really wonderful things, and they gave us this movement. So I was also thinking that we follow the rules and regulations, but actually the real catalyst for our spiritual life, things such as faith in Guru and our desire, our longing, they're born out of something else. The rules and regulations simply keep us kind of in a mode of goodness situation, but the things that are really going to nurture our Krishna consciousness aren't necessarily coming from following rules and regulations. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about separating those two things.
The very next verse in that third chapter is Yamaraj saying, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Navai vidur rushayo napi devah na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuto na vidyadhara charanadaya. That when the Yamadutas were challenged with what are the laws that govern every person, they say that the laws are called Veda Pranihito Dharma. That the laws of human conduct are given in the Vedas, and one should follow the Vedas. One who does not follow the Vedas is subject to these punishments. The Yamaraj is negating it. He said it's not Veda Pranihito, it's Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. That the rules and regulations of devotional service are very different than the rules of regulations provided in the Vedas. The rules and regulations provided in the Vedas are moral, ethical sort of rules and regulations. Spiritual life is higher than that. And the rules and regulations that one follows in spiritual life are directly given by the personality of Godhead. That means the path of devotional service within parampara. And one should follow those. Those stand above the moral, ethical rules and regulations. It doesn't mean that the spiritual rules and regulations are contradictory to moral and ethical rules. But when there is a contradiction, or when there is a dichotomy between morality and spirituality, then the laws of spirituality overtake. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu We'll use the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the best example because he is above all mistakes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 24 years old and he had a wife, Lakshmi Priya, Vishnu Priya, Devi. And as the moral ethical laws, and he had a dependent mother, Mother Sachi Devi. So the moral ethical rules say that you cannot abandon them. But preaching Krishna consciousness was a higher order that for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So it was all right for him to do so. Of course, he's the personality of Godhead and he did it, but that's what he did to benefit so many other living entities. Of course, there are internal reasons that there is the sense of separation and he was, you know, completely taking their sense of separation to the highest degree possible. That notwithstanding, there was a higher purpose. So he went for higher purpose, like that. So it's not that we don't follow rules and regulations in the process of bhakti. We do. In fact, our method is that spontaneous attraction to Krishna comes from following rules and regulations. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti gives rise to raga bhakti, which gives rise to bhava and prema. But those rules and regulations are of a different category. In this set of verses there, Yamaraj is explaining that the Vedic rules and regulations, they don't necessarily bring bhakti, they bring piety. It's the rules and regulations of devotional service which are of a different category. So first of all, rules and regulations of devotional service is that one should chant the holy name of Krishna. And here is explaining that Ajamila, although was the worst of sinners, he didn't follow any rule. In fact, he completely abandoned all good behavior. And he engaged himself in such abominable activities that everyone disliked him. Yet because he accidentally chanted the name of Narayana, all these material laws did not matter. They just could not affect him. They could not touch him. So in that Prabhupada, there's a whole section discussing, that doesn't mean that we continue doing what we're doing and saying, I'll chant the holy name. That's an offense against the holy name. So the rules and regulations to follow is to avoid offenses against the holy name, to avoid offenses against the deity, to avoid offenses against the devotees. These are rules to follow. And when one is conscious and careful, then one protects one's bhakti. And when one is negligent of that, then one does not progress in bhakti, then one is subjected to material laws. Like that.
I remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, he is a Vaishnava if he makes other as Vaishnava. So here is a sentence was there that his business was to, Narada Muni's business was to make Vaishnava only. So he used to travel from place to place. So to that connect, that is, I remember that Bhaktivinoda Thakur told that if you make another as a Vaishnava, another person, then you will be called as a Vaishnava. And also, and elsewhere Prabhupada has mentioned, that means for sannyasi, specifically, there should not be any material law should apply to restrict their travelings from one place to another in connection to the immigration laws and all that. Prabhupada mentioned.
Thing to say?
just had a quick question. We know it's incorrect to identify a devotee, or for that matter, a jiva, with his material body. Is that an offense to consider a Vaishnava? I think I've heard, I just wanted to confirm, from the material point of view, for example, old age, you know, one may, due to conditioning, perceive a Vaishnava in regards to their bodily situation, but that's considered an offense?
That may not be considered an offense until what we do with that conception. So Rupa Goswami cautions us that one should not evaluate the efficacy of a devotee on the basis of their bodily condition. Drishtair, Swajanair, Vapushascha Doshai. If there are some faults in his body, one should not think that, how can he be a devotee? Or, and so he gives the example of, or the analogy of the Ganges River. That the Ganges River also has mud, foam, and bubbles. That doesn't make the Ganges less pure. So like that, a Vaishnava may be in an old body or an elderly body, or may have some disease or something, but that doesn't make that person as a Vaishnava, because consciousness is not affected by bodily condition. Only in a conditioned state it does. In a liberated state it does not. Srila Prabhupada narrated 10th canto purports. We've seen in that video, he's lying down, body completely emaciated, hasn't eaten for days together. But if only dictating everything that is conscious, moving and non-moving, he's dictating these purports like that. There are many elderly Vaishnavas that we can't tell. Their body may be emaciated, but the realizations are... So it's not an offense. One can say, oh, this is an elderly Vaishnava. Maybe I can do some service for them. That's different from an old Vaishnava or something. So it depends on how we see it, how it's applied.
Krishna.
So typically for persons who are still with working with like a mostly a material paradigm, like I have just this tendency to think of freedom and think of independence.
Right.
So I was wondering if you could speak just about a little bit about how it's actually the opposite, having freedom with full dependence. Like this verse you quoted, the
Padam Padam Yat Vipadam.
I was thinking of Daivi Prakriti Mashrita.
Ah, okay. I've heard a very nice analogy that has helped me in this, so I'll share with you. That a devotee is considered Sanatha. Sanatha means one with a master. One without a master is called anatha. And the analogy Prabhupada also gives is that of a dog. A dog that has a master enjoys as just like the master. And in that regard, if someone has a dog that's completely untrained, and is like a Rottweiler, pit bull or something, then he has a short leash. Okay, that means his freedom is highly curbed. He's very independent, therefore it's curbed. And as the dog gets trained, that means the dog follows the orders of his master, the leash becomes longer. To the degree the dog follows the orders of the master, the leash becomes longer and longer. And when the dog is thoroughly trained to follow the, you know, orders of the master, there is no leash. Like the Labradors and Golden Retrievers. Of course, not all of them are like that, but the ones, they will run around. So they're completely free. But that is because they're completely dependent on their master. They're dependent on the orders of the master. And the moment this so-called free dog pounces on someone or misbehaves, what's the first thing that happens? It's put on a leash. Sure, I like. Then the laws or the master's orders curb him. This is how the material nature works. Even in society, as long as we're following the laws of society, like driving, I like this example. Prabhupada says, you know, you can follow state law, you can follow the driving law, and you can drive anywhere in the US freely. Nobody's going to stop you, nobody's going to tell you, oh, you cannot go to Florida. You can go anywhere you like. But the moment we disobey the law or break the law, immediately, sorry, you cannot drive, or here's a penalty. Or depending on the degree of transgression, even a driver's license can get revoked. So we are dependent on those laws. And the moment we think, ultimate freedom, freedom means I don't have to follow any law, the laws suddenly fall in place. So freedom comes from following higher order. There cannot be freedom without higher order. It's a fallacious thinking to independence and freedom, that they go together. So said differently, when one utilizes one's independence willingly, voluntarily, to follow higher order, that person has ultimate freedom. This is called reposing one's free will, submitting one's free will to the will of God, to the will of Krishna. Then one has unlimited freedom. So let's say Narada Muni wants to do something and Lord Krishna says, do this. What would Narada Muni do? He would drop his idea and do what Lord Vishnu wants. Because he voluntarily submits himself to the will of the Lord. So he has unlimited freedom. No one is independent. That's why I began the discussion with it. There is nobody who's unlimitedly free to do whatever they like. Everyone follows higher order. Everyone. Even the Vishnu Dutas, they follow higher order. But they have unlimited freedom because they follow that higher order. Jitendra Prabhu?
Yeah, that's interesting with the collar and the leash. I heard the expression used, keep them on a short leash, and then also heard, keep them on a choke collar because he's too uncontrolled.
Yeah.
Another thing, jumping ahead a few purports, it says that invalidity of old age can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Then we have the words with diacritical markings, like the first verse, first word of this verse was mayi, unto me, and then we have down in verse 28, maya, by me, but I always thought maya meant not this, but
so there is a,
it's in the context, I guess.
In maya, there is a dash on both the A's. It's maya.
Yeah.
And
okay.
By me is maya, M-A-Y-A, without any dashes.
Right. Another thing is...
Two different words.
Yeah, okay. Another thing is, you know, I hear the word chandala, yavana, malecha.
Coming up, tomorrow.
per Sunday, okay.
The Yavana king.
Okay. Okay. I was just wondering, what is your definition? The Malecha is a fish eater, I thought. I got them a little mixed up.
Prabhupada defines Yavana as one who does not follow Vedic principles.
Okay, and then a Malecha is?
Untouchables.
Okay.
Chandala is dog eater.
And a Chandala is a dog eater. Now, are there any other derogatory people in that
yeah.
range?
Yeah. Kirata.
What's that?
Kirata.
Okay.
Hunans, okay. The Andras, the Pulindas, the Pulkashas, Abira, Yavada, Khasadaya, Khasas. Khasas is Prabhupada says Mongolians. Means those are small mustache.
There's a whole list in one.
And then
one
there's a, that's the verse I'm quoting.
That verse, right. What canto is that in?
Second canto, third chapter.
Yeah, I forget the and verse he number. Said, even them, even those can
and
become.
More. Ye anyecha. If there is a longer list than that, even those, shuddhyanti, they all get purified if they take shelter of a devotee who's taken shelter of Krishna.
But except for the prashandi, right? The atheist?
Is included in that yeah nature.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
If he takes shelter of a devotee, even he's excused.
I just want a little clarification. Yeah. Thank you. And one thing is, I remember one devotee called another devotee a mudha.
Mudha.
And I said that's like calling somebody you know, like an MF-er in America. So you know, it was really it really aggravated the person. I remember it happened here in the front lobby in the 1980s, but it's just something that came up, you know. So we got to watch our vocabulary.
Srila Prabhupada.